All right, hello and welcome to the 14th episode of the At U2 podcast, talking all things U2, album news, tour dates, community discussions from the staff of atu2.com. We are live streaming once again, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Sherry's not here to tell me all the other time zones, but it's some other times in the world. Goodstuff.fm/live. And with me tonight on the show is Mr. Matt McGee. Hello, welcome back to the show, Matt.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I am well. I'm doing good. I'm excited to chat you two again and on the show again for her second appearance to Tasula.
Yes, right? in this incarnation, yes.
This incarnation of Tasula or?
This incarnation of the At YouTube podcast. Okay. Gotcha. I was on about 30 years ago, but yeah.
We won't get into religious discussions on this show, but.
No.
We have, for this one, it's our bucket list episode. So people... listeners as well as At U2 staffers have sent in bucket list items for related to U2, things they want to do, places they want to go, collectibles they want to own, U2 related things you want to see, do, experience, that kind of thing. And so we'll cover that. But before we do that, we're going to get into just a quick little round of the inbox. So first up, Fabio Nomad, frequent, I think... We'll have to have
you keep calling him time out. Poor guy. You keep calling him Fabio Nomad.
I just read his literal. Just before the show, we started recording. I was making fun of myself for mispronouncing his name. And then what's the first thing I do?
You know what else I don't like?
I don't like how I pronounce his name. Fabiano. Right?
Exactly.
There we go. Yes. Where is the best place to buy U2 memorabilia? Which is a great question, I think. And for fans out there who maybe, I don't have much myself, but I would imagine this day and age online stuff, it's a little easier than it was a few years ago where you had to like go somewhere to physically buy it. But is there a place online or somewhere, where should he go?
I used to be a collector. And so eBay is probably an obvious option. And you can find some good bargains on eBay, and you can also find some really overpriced stuff on eBay. There's also a website called, it's based in the UK, and it's called EIL. And I think it's just EIL.com. And they are a massive music collector memorabilia company, and they have an enormous collection of U2 stuff. And a lot of it is what I think collectors would tell you is somewhat overpriced. However, in the few times that I've actually ordered stuff from them, they do a phenomenal job of packaging and shipping stuff, especially if it's fragile. And so, you know, if you're buying something that's, you know, that's kind of delicate, I think it's well worth the little extra dollars there. And then I would say the third option is that there's still, you know, some really good record stores. You know, when you go out to, what's it called? To Solar Record Store Day, right?
Yeah.
Some of the places that I go to, you know, over on this side of the state, you know, they have some really, not just, you know, old vinyl, but there's still some, you know, some really cool memorabilia that you can find in shops.
Yeah.
And so that's if I were looking for memorabilia, that's what I would. Those would be the places I would go.
Cool. Anything else to add to Sula, or is that that's it?
No, that's where Gem used to be great, but it's gone. So.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That site. Yeah, that was phenomenal back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. Analog Brat. Did I get that one right?
I think you did.
Yeah, okay. I think that's an easy one.
You might think that. What are the band members' favorite sandwich toppings and corresponding snacks? Which I think, I don't know that we would know that necessarily. I'm trying to think of how, I guess if somebody was ever like snuck in and periscoped or something, their catering service maybe, they might know.
You could make educated guesses. You know, Larry's going to go with some like hummus and cucumber or something because he's a vegetarian.
With bull blood somehow.
You know. There's going to be, you know, this would be a funny Kelly Eddington Octoon Baby opportunity.
Answer Guy would have good answer to this.
Answer Guy would have great answers for this.
You have to answer that again?
Yeah. Bono would probably have PBJ or something. You know, there's jokes in there somewhere, but anyway, yeah. We don't know.
We don't.
You know what? I bet one of their favorite snacks is Flake, that Irish chocolate bar that's really good.
I do see Edge liking a grilled cheese. I don't know why, but I can picture it.
Just yeah, like a minimal grilled cheese.
Yeah, gotta
get back to the music.
Yeah. With a little light beverage on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can picture that too.
Adam probably favors something sandalwood-ish.
What I tend to favor is sandalwood.
Something that goes with tea. So he's probably like the little British sandwich, you know, tomato and cream cheese or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
See, we might have nailed it. I wish
we actually answered that question.
I wish they'd write in and tell us. Yeah. What are you back on, guys?
How much would you pay me if I sent our PR contact this question?
You know what? It might be just off the wall enough that it would be kind of fun.
No, that's the kind of stuff they used to answer in propaganda, you know?
Yeah.
Probably not far gone.
That's true. In the chat room, Mount Temple for Joyce says Tato crisps, and that's an Irish potato chip kind of thing.
Yeah.
And said, didn't Bono post about those this tour? I don't know if he did, but those things are fantastic.
They are good.
I had those when I was in Dublin last year, and I was like, wow, these are really good.
Yeah.
There you go. Sponsored. U2 tour are sponsored by.
Tato crisp.
All right. Final one on the inbox for this episode anyways. There is other ones, but we're just trying to save some space and time for the bucket list stuff. But at YLO74 asks, haven't heard mention anywhere of the impact of Bono's injuries, which prevent him from playing guitar. For the first tour in decades, he is free to charge around the stage throughout the show. Is that a key factor in the success of the Innocence and Experience tour? What do you think, Tasula? Do you
think that's... Bono not being able to play guitar is the key factor in the success of the tour.
That might be overreaching a bit.
I think he's charged around on every tour, quite frankly. But I get what the
YLO74
tweeter is saying. Yeah, yeah. Is perhaps, you know, he's not tied to the stage as much since he doesn't use his guitar for one anymore, and he doesn't. They're not playing, you know, the things that, with the exception of that he would play on anyway. So I don't know. I don't think it's had that great of an impact. Sorry, Bono.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. He probably, you know, with his megalomania, I think he probably feels that it's had a great impact.
Right, right.
But I think for the rest of us, it's just like, okay, so Bono's not playing guitar and that's just fine. And, you know, so be it. I don't think there's like, are there any songs that they wanted to put in the set list that are not there because he can't play it? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if they would either go in tours past, they would go to like an acoustic-y set for something like that, where Bono would just sort of add some, but this day and age with what's his name that's playing under the stage anyways.
What's his name? We are so on our game tonight.
The guy who shall not be named, because they don't like sort of promoting the fact that there's someone else playing under the stage sometimes.
Terry Lawless?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't play guitar. He's keyboards.
No, I know, but he's filling in, like just giving some extra volume to whatever's happening on stage is all I mean. And so they don't necessarily need, like in years past, maybe they did actually want, you know, Edge without having as much sort of effects and stuff going on, maybe wanted something else there when he was soloing or whatever on a song. But these days they have, some assistance. That's all. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, I mean, well, they've had assistance. I think it was back on the Vertigo tour or maybe Elevation. There was a forum discussion or a mailing list discussion about this. And I kind of went through a typical set list and it was something like, you know, 75% of the songs, there's some sort of pre-programmed backing track that, yeah, you know, is either, you know, that's, you know, like the synthesizer at the beginning of Streets or the loop that, you know, that you hear during Bad. That's not one of the four of them playing that. So yeah, there's a lot of that. And that's fine. It's no big deal. The show's fantastic.
Which in the chat room, Always E2 was mentioning Dallas, which I think back, it used to be Dallas. Well, Dallas still triggers some of that stuff, and Edge would sometimes trigger it if he was there and mm-hmm. place or whatever is what it looks like. There's some keys and stuff that are being played as well, which I respect the fact that they're doing it live. And like, I'm not dissing them for having somebody hidden under the stage. It's fine. It's totally.
But it's not like, you know, let's not have anybody go spreading any Milli Vanilli rumors now.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Edge is actually singing when he's supposed to sing. And
exactly.
So is
you know what was funny though? Speaking of that, back on the Vertigo tour, you know, like in Miracle Drug, how that the bridge in Miracle Drug, you know, halfway through the song or whatever it is, where Edge sings and Bono doesn't.
Yeah.
We used to get email, like we'd get an email per week into At U2 saying, you know, oh, you know, they're lip syncing in concert. Mm-hmm. I saw, you know, I heard Bono singing, you know, in Science and in Medicine, that part of the song, but his mouth wasn't moving. It's all pre-recorded. It's Milli Vanilli. And we used to have to answer this like every week. No. That was that. Edge.
And then in Larry even sang on that one and they didn't notice Larry. Nobody looked at Larry, you know, right. Like, come on, you guys.
Yeah. Well, who's looking at Larry anyways?
I mean, Sherry and I are looking at Larry, but I don't know.
I definitely see myself acting more as a musician in the future.
Okay, breaking news. This just into the At U2 newsroom.
Uh-oh.
Sherry Lawrence has emailed our PR contact with a question about the sandwiches.
Oh, God. And snacks. Well, there went our relationship. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, goodness.
If At U2 shuts down next week, you'll know why.
We get all of our rights taken away. Oh, dear. Okay.
Well, it's 5 o'clock.
Hopefully they'll have a good laugh.
5 a.m. in Belgium right now. So if they're sleeping off the concert, maybe they won't answer right away, depending on which PR. Right.
If they're funny, they'll write back and say stuff like Fluffernutter and, you know, just have a little fun with it.
Awesome. All right. So we'll update you if we get any.
Or the Elvis. Larry could be eating the Elvis, the peanut butter and banana. Why didn't I think of that earlier? Anyway, go ahead. Move on.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
I've got Beatles DNA on me.
Okay. What was that? Next up, we're going to do a repeat of this. Not repeat. We're doing the segment again that we did last week. Name that song. It's transitioning out of the Stump Matt segment into Stump Everybody segment, I think. And I forget which song I ended on last week. So, Tasula, are you ready to join in with Matt and
try and
beat him at this? Okay. Chat room, you can play along.
Tasula, this is tough. I'm just warning you.
I bet it is.
I think this is the one I ended on last time, but so I'll do a repeat just for fun to see if you remember. I'm sure you've been studying all week, Matt. Yeah. So here we go.
Rejoice.
No, that's like a song.
Two hearts beat as one.
Like a song. Hello?
Tasula
gets it. Matt gets a... It seems louder this week than it was last week. I don't know if it's just my...
Rejoice? Is that what you seriously just said? Oh, my gosh.
That's good. I was worried that maybe not having Sherry here to mock Matt.
Oh, God, no.
Somehow. Okay. Good. We're on
the same. All right, next one. Let's go.
Okay, so 1 point for Tasula. No points.
I'll do better.
For Matt.
Love and Peace or Us.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Bam! There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That is how I roll, baby. My wife just faved it.
All right. 1 point each we've got so far. Here we go to the next one. Oh, that's just the ending.
Wow. What is that? Can you play that again?
So, do you have a guess or do you want
to? No, go ahead. Play it again.
Wow. Fabiano says Your Blue Room. Sherry in the chat room says Peace on Earth. I don't think either one of those is right.
I was going to say City of Blinding Lights, but I don't know.
Matt, do you have a guess?
Everybody's saying Peace on Earth in the chat room. No, I have no idea what that is.
Well, oh, sorry. Chat room gets a point.
Oh, chat room got right. it. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I don't like that song.
You guys
got
to close the chat room because there's no cheating. We can't cheat.
I'm not looking at the chat. I don't even know how to get to the chat room.
All right.
Right,
I'll cover the chat room with the show agenda. There we go. So what was that? That was Peace on Earth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, once you...
You know what else I don't like?
Just save it for a second, Matt, okay? Okay, next one. So 1 point for Tasula, 1 point for Matt, 1 point for the chat room. Another ending.
Oh, I know this.
I know this. Say it. Do it again.
Okay.
Oh. It's that song. It's that song. What is that?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, it's on the tip of my freaking tongue.
I know.
Don't look, but the chat room's got it already.
Doing the same thing.
Is it ultraviolet? Acrobat.
It's older than that. It's a Joshua Tree.
What was that?
Unforgettable Fire. Oh, damn it. What is it?
Oh, Red Hill Mining Town.
Yeah, it's Joshua Tree. Yeah.
Bam. The chat room wins, though, right?
Yeah, they got the point. So two points for the chat room, 1 point each for our guests, our hosts. What are you? I don't know. Okay. Next
we're
one.
We're the victims.
Right. This is victims. Got Beatles DNA on
it. Okay, here we go.
Sleep Like a Baby tonight again.
Yeah,
you're so mean to me.
You're giving that right over to him.
You know what else I don't like?
Okay, two more here. We'll go... So that's a point for Matt. So Matt's got two. Sue's got one. Chatroom's got two.
Some days are better than others.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Dang, yeah. I'm a winning.
Listened to that album today, too.
Okay, so that's, what was that? Matt's at three?
That's three for me.
Three for Matt, two for the chat room, one for Sula, right? Okay, Sula, or the chat room, I guess, can try and catch up.
Go for the tie
here.
But then, I'm going to win. Here we go.
So everybody ready? This chat room has a delay on it, too. So they have a bit of a, they're about 5 seconds behind you. So you've got a bit of a gap. So here we go.
Wire.
Oops.
No, button. It's a...
That was right.
Yes!
Oh, it is. Damn it.
Yes! Did I win?
You win.
Woohoo! 48.
Chatroom got it as well, so I don't know how we do that exactly. But Matt gets four, Chatroom gets three.
I finally upheld my U2 fan cred.
There we go. You were practicing this week, I'm sure.
Will you let me back on the podcast next week?
I think so. No. We'll take a vote, maybe.
Okay.
See what the audience says. But thank you for playing along. That's a fun little segment. We'll probably do it again.
So we have to mention Song Pop,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Tasula and I have been playing against each other for what, like a year now, Tasula?
At least a year. We've been through two incarnations of the app.
So Song Pop is this awesome app that is on Android, I believe. Yeah, Android and iOS. So if you have an iPhone or whatever smartphone or tablet you have, you go get this Song Pop app. And it's exactly like what we just did, where it's, you know, it's like it's name that song, basically. And there's, you know, there's hundreds of categories. One of them is U2. And so, you know, you choose the U2 category, and Tasola and I play U2 against each other all the time. And it gives you five songs, and it just gives you like this little snippet of the song. And you've got like 10 seconds to guess. And the sooner you guess, the more points you get. And then you rack up points, and there's a winner and a loser, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then there's all kinds of, you know, there's 80s music and 90s music and 2000s, and there's country and rap and rock and hard rock and, you know, love songs.
Holiday.
Yeah, there's just a million. It's the most awesome game that, you know, that there is. And so if there's any U2 fans out there that want to play Song Pop against us, just like send in an email or something, and I'd be happy to give my username out, because I always feel guilty playing the U2 category all the time against people that aren't U2 fans.
I know.
Right? Like, I'm afraid like they're just going to delete me and never play again.
I know. I love it, though. I've had a few strangers that have asked to play that I've said sure, and they think that they're going to beat me at that, and it's cute. But
it's cute.
Not going to happen.
Like a cat playing with a mouse. You're just like,
but you know, just now, you know, it might have happened from how well I did on this game.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you would just wouldn't get the sound effects. That's all. You know, those ones.
You do get.
You win. Maybe that's why I haven't won yet.
Your coins, you know, you get little fake coins you can buy new playlists with. It's fun. It's one of the few games that I don't get sick of.
Yeah. Same with me.
Yeah.
Donuts.
Okay. So moving on. That's our cue to move on. Sorry, Sherry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah. Moving on to the roundtable, our discussion of U2 bucket list items. And so we have listeners sent in stuff. There's a couple audio clips of folks who recorded themselves listing off some of their bucket list items, which is awesome, as well as stuff that we'll read in a dramatic interpretation. No, we won't do that.
We'll each do our imitation of a band member reading these bucket list items.
Don't do that.
do we need to explain what a bucket list is? I mean, I hope not. Like, it's, you know, things that you want to do that are YouTube related before you die. So
yeah. Yeah,
just to make sure everybody understands.
We just did.
Well, yeah. So go ahead and explain. Whether or not we need to, we just did.
So first up, we have a audio version or audio clip from Sarah, and we will play this now.
Hi, my name's Sarah. I have been a massive YouTube fan since the days of VooTV, and I developed what they call a life list about 5 years ago, of all the things I wanted to do before I died. So basically a bucket list. And obviously, as YouTube was such a big part of my life, I tried to incorporate some YouTube items, and I have three ones of things that I really wanted. So basically the first thing is go on a global pilgrimage. So try to see as many concerts as we possibly can. Obviously being over in Australia and New Zealand, it's been quite hard to get to more than one place, but we managed to do that this year and go see the perform in New York for my birthday, which was amazing, and hopefully I can continue that and go see more. The other item is obviously get up on stage with Bono. Who doesn't want that? And then my final item is hear you two play Love Is Blindness. That was what got me to become a massive U2 fan. It was that song that basically changed my life. And if it wasn't for that song, I don't think I'd be doing the things I'm doing now, be with the husband I'm at, who I actually met because he had tickets to U2 Pop Mart back in 1997. And we're actually celebrating our 18th anniversary on Friday this week. So I don't think my life would be like it is now if it wasn't for Love Is Blindness. Which is why that I find that's really important. So that's me. Thank you.
Awesome. So thanks, Sarah, awesome. First of all, for sending that in and very cool ones. I think especially hearing like a specific song live, like Love Is Blindness, which is a bit more rare. That would definitely be something I would love to hear and see at some point. How about you guys?
Yeah, I think it's cool that I don't have a one song like that has that much, you know, weight or meaning, you know, personally. So I think it's cool when somebody has something like that, that is, you know, to hear her talk about how one song had such a, you know, impact on, you know, relationships and marriage and all that sort of stuff, you know, really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine was actually Ultraviolet, but I got to hear that on the 360 tour, which was kind of cool to hear that live. Okay. Matt, why don't you go with next on the list?
Yeah, right. So Mark Reed sent in an email, and I don't know if Mark's on Twitter. He didn't. If he didn't include a Twitter name. But anyway, he says that his bucket list includes the following: getting a decent set of full reissues, including Rattle and Hum; seeing U2 in the U.S.; getting an end of tour show under my belt; and then more frequent albums. And he says the band have a gold mine of stuff we haven't heard. And then he says, the main thing on my bucket list is somewhat selfish. I'd love you two to have another 15 to 20 years of work left in them and for me to grow old long enough to experience it all. The idea of them making music and me not being around just isn't right. Yes.
That's a heavy one.
Seriously, yeah. A reminder that we're all getting old, aren't we?
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, and that's I'm sure every U2 fan has thought about that, you know, like something happening to the band or something happening to you or whatever in your life, and just the permanent or the shortness of everything that we take for granted often in life and the fun of, and that's why I think things like getting to go to the Dublin show or whatever, things like that are on your YouTube bucket list, try and do them sooner than later, because you never know, obviously. Not that I know. Okay, moving on before I start crying. Tasula, do you want to do the next one?
Sure. This one comes to us from Dana Starbuck. And on Twitter, she's at DanaStar78. She or he, I guess Dana could be either. But this person writes, I want to see an acoustic set of U2 in a small little venue with Edge on vocals.
Interesting.
That's
for every song, I wonder.
That's what I want to know, like the ones that he already sings or everything.
Huh.
Because even the ones that he sings would be unique, you know, numb, yeah, obviously.
Seconds might not translate so well live, but
yeah,
not that I wouldn't want to hear it, but.
Interesting. Yeah,
Numb. Interesting. That, we can make him sing that.
An acoustic version of Numb.
Acoustic version of Numb, just him sitting there. That's, oh, that'd be fantastic.
That sounds interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
which I guess not to go too far down a rabbit trail, but when you guys saw Numb being played on the Zoo TV tour live, how did that translate even in like in a stadium? Because both of you, or at least one of you, saw Zoo TV, right?
I didn't see it live. Oh, okay. I was in high school and my parents wouldn't let me, and I'm still angry about that. Oh, but go ahead, Matt.
Sorry.
No, I don't think I'd have to go back and check set lists. I saw Zoo TV before that album.
Oh, before Zoo TV, right. Yeah.
Oh,
so
right.
I never saw it in the concert.
Right, okay. Well, there you go. Okay, moving on. Oh, why did I put myself? Fabiano.
why did you give yourself that one?
Exactly. It's practice. I'm forcing myself to get better, Fabiano, because he stays up late, very late, listening to us live, which is awesome, and I should do better. So, but some things from his list that he's already crossed off is seeing U2 and Pearl Jam together, which I agree with. Pearl Jam's one of my favorite other bands. He saw them in Hawaii 2006. Visit Bono's house 2007. I'm assuming he didn't get in, maybe, but maybe he did. If he did, let's have you on the show or send in some audio of that. Seeing U2 in Dublin in 2009. Set list from Paul McGuinness's hand, I guess. Not Paul McGuinness's hand. Sorry, I read that wrong. In Brazil 2011. Still to go on his list, an intimate concert in a small venue like the Roxy. Picture with just him and Bono. Not in the crowd. Autographed picture of Larry with him, maybe on stage doing the Meerkat on the current tour, or buy a glass of Guinness for Bono. I'm Gono.
It comes to Fabiano.
Oops.
Oh, oops. Wrong one. Here we go.
Pint.
There we go. That's it. But yeah, those are some fun ones too. And I think lots of probably repeats of the sort of the, you know, small venue type stuff and intimate concert ideas with you two would obviously be, I think, a fun one to do.
It's funny. I've thought, yeah, we did get, we're going to have a couple more coming up where people talk about seeing them in a small club, Roxy type thing. The Meerkat one is interesting because I've actually, you know, I like early in the tour, I was like, what happens if I were to get pulled up for the Meerkat segment? What would I do? And I keep thinking that I would go stand behind Larry and try and freak him out. I just like stand right where he can't even see me. And I just like shoot over his shoulder at everything and just like really see if I could just like,
carry you out.
Yeah.
I know, right? What does that say about me that's what I would do? That's such a weird thing.
That is a funny one, actually. Yeah. I've often like, I'm sure neither of you have been on stage with you two, right? In any capacity?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you were? Oh,
I didn't dance with them, but I was one of the Aung San Suu Kyi volunteers during.
Oh, that's
walk-on.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that counts for sure. And that's, but like I've often thought too, like just the awkwardness of being like this person on stage, all these people are suddenly staring at you.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
to be honest, it's crazy. Like to have that every night. Oh my God.
Yeah, I can totally understand what it was referenced in that book that Matt and I can never remember the name of, Bill Flanagan's book, of like, you know, Bono needing to stay in a hotel before he comes home or whatever, because he's just like bouncing off the walls, you know, needing fans cheering for him or whatever, which I can totally, totally get. All right, so next up on is another audio one from Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Maynard, and I am blessed to have fulfilled most of my U2 bucket list, but there are two things that remain. One possibly might happen, and one I can pretty much guarantee you will never happen. The one that might happen would be to see U2 in Turin in Italy. I've seen them in Boston, I've seen them in Chicago, I've seen them in Dublin, never seen them in Turin, and those always seem to be really great shows. That might happen. The thing that probably won't is I'd really, really love to hear them play a Celebration live. I can dream, can't I?
Definitely. Which is the point of the bucket list, I think. So
that's a cool one.
Thank you, Beth, for sending that in.
Thank you, Beth.
Yeah.
So any comments there?
I would love to go see him in Italy too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the, and it's interesting that she specifically went down to the city level as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Italy is pretty high on my bucket list because the crowd there is always seems to be just insane. So,
that's the appeal of Italy specifically is just the crowd is just like crazy, go nuts, awesome kind of thing.
And the Italian food.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. but we'll save my podcast. We'll save my bucket list items
for
later.
We're going to do ours at the end.
Ours later in the podcast. Yeah.
All right, Tisula, do you want to do the next one?
Sure. And this one comes from Jasper. Is it Jasper in Holland or is it Jasper Holland?
I don't know. I think it's Jasper in Holland.
Jasper in Holland. Okay. Jasper in Holland says that he hopes that they play a few small venues. So his number one YouTube bucket list item would be attending a pre-tour gig in a club. So like being one of the lucky 500 in the Roxy or the Irving Plaza, the examples that he gives. But he does say that the first four songs played on this tour, being in GA, was a very good second best execution of the bucket list. It had exactly that club spirit.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people that were at the Roxy pretty much all talk about that being, you know, a sort of a life-changing experience.
I can only imagine. It was life-changing for me, and I listened to it from my living room. I mean,
it was, yeah, you know, same with me.
I had to, like, calm down that night. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, I remember tweeting some things just about, you know, this is, like, the greatest night of all time. And
it was, like, the set list, the way they were going with the set list, especially early on, we thought it was going to be, like, all boy October War kind of stuff. I was just, my heart was moving, but yeah.
That was cool.
Which is awesome. I think that's what I love about doing this podcast is we read those tweets sometimes and you probably other listeners have, you know, felt that as well, but getting to hear you guys gush about what is maybe it sounds like I'm making fun, but I'm serious, like gush about just a band that has been around for so long and all that kind of stuff. But still has the ability to just inspire emotion like that from fans is awesome. I think that's, yeah. All right, Matt, you want to pull up the next one?
This is from some character named Tim, Tim Neufeld.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Neufeld? Tim Neufeld, maybe? Oh, Tim Neufeld from our staff. Oh, okay. You know what else I don't like?
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Enough with the sound effect. Okay, so Tim Neufeld of our staff emailed in three. He could have just joined the podcast. Why is he? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
He's getting slammed at work, I think, is what he said.
He's working on his book. Yeah. I'm helping research something for him. He mentioned his work.
So. Okay. We'll let him off the hook then. Yeah. All right. So his number three thing on his bucket list is be a Lampy for Willie Williams. His number two thing is be a Lampy for Willie Williams. His number one thing is be a Lampy for Willie Williams. And then he says it's a bit of a running joke in a segment of U2 social media fandom that he wants to be a Lampy for Willie Williams. But he also says he's serious that he would love to work for and spend time with Willie. He is an artistic hero to me. That's Tim Neufeld speaking. And I would just echo that. 100%. I have all the respect and admiration in the world for Willie Williams, and it's an honor that he replies to my emails every once in a while and answers questions when we send them, and so we can post interviews on the website. So yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, and getting to do the consistently, you know, the artistic creative stuff that he does with U2, stage, tour design, etc. Over the many years that he's been doing it and still, like, you know, on fire for it, loves doing it and coming up with creative, interesting, fun, new stuff each time. It's just like a awesome little thing in and of itself, separate from you two, you know?
Wouldn't it be great if he wrote a book?
Oh yeah. Definitely. So there you go.
I'd buy that. I'd be in line for that book.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Neufeld would be as well.
Okay, what does a Lampy mean?
One of the lighting people.
It's roadie term for lighting people.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. I'll ask the questions that other people maybe have that I don't know, like how to pronounce Fabiano's name.
Got it right. Good job.
Yeah. I had to think for a second there. There's a pause. Okay. Next up was from Wilberth Durantes at Maximus Del Piero on Twitter. And folks, if you're sending stuff in and you want us to, like, we'll happily mention your Twitter handle if you want. I don't know, whatever fame, notoriety comes with being mentioned on a podcast like this. But, and if you don't, then just mention that you don't want us to. And that's totally fine as well. We can do it fairly anonymous as well. But anyways, here's their bucket list in no particular order. Concert in Mexico, achieved in 2011. Visit the Joshua Tree site, achieved September 2012. Concert in Dublin, will be at the concerts November 27th, 28th, coming up next month. Attend a tour opener or closer. Attend a concert at a big important city, New York, London, Paris, etc., which we've talked about before, is like sort of having extra, obviously extra energy. Hear Electrical Storm live, which is their favorite Woo-hoo! Song. Interesting.
Plus one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, have they?
That's one of mine. That's one of my top ones. They have played it before, but yeah. Just a few times.
Yeah. Meet all the guys, just missing Larry. He met, or she, met Bono, handshake, Adam, autograph, and Edge, handshake and autograph in Phoenix. Attend a concert in their hometown area, Juarez, Mexico, El Paso, Texas, luck. Cruz, I should have prepped myself with the names. New Mexico.
This Las one is Cruces.
There you go.
Las Cruces.
Las Cruces.
This is one of long shots. And totally out of control, but I can dream. They did a concert in Las Cruces. How do I do? During Joshua Tree and in El Paso during Zoo TV, but I was too young to know any better. Aw. So there you go. Yeah, you, Sula, you, Electro Storm is one of your favorite songs.
That's up there for me. Yeah, it's in my top five.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of like, what would that be? Is that, that's not like a B? Is it a B side or a? It was a single.
It was an in between album release.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. One of their sort of better in non album release songs, I guess, or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
Okay, Tasula, do you want to do the next one?
Sure. This one comes to us from Julie Lizen, and on Twitter she is at Jules Lizen with it's spelled JuleZlyzun. And she says, here are a few things on my bucket list with some more likely to happen than others. She would like to meet the band, but even better would be to get pulled on stage during a concert to dance with Bono. Front row GA on the rail. She was close to this the last concert she went to. She only had one person in front of her. See a U2 concert in a different city in which I normally see them. She says, I always see them in Chicago. Well, speaking from personal experience, that is not a bad thing. She should be happy that she's got a good city to see them in if she's keeping a pattern there. See a U2 concert in Dublin. Still waiting for tickets to magically appear for next month. It can happen. Don't give up. Witness for the
Julie, today is your lucky day. Go check on. No, I'm just I wish we had that kind of power.
I wish we had that kind of power. Yeah.
Sorry to tease.
Witness the process of a U2 song being written and recorded. I do miss Ooh. The days when they used to put the, you know, webcam up or whatever when they were recording and we'd see little glimpses here and there. Hear 40 end a concert. She's been to 12 U2 concerts, still hasn't heard it played in its entirety. Wow.
Wow.
And then follow U2 on tour for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yes. I agree. Ooh. The songwriting process one would be, I think, now that she said that, I hadn't thought of or remembered that or whatever, but I think that would actually be one of my top ones because reading books and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of stuff that gets me going. It's just like seeing that process. And even if it was like you get to fly in for a day and watch the, you know, the genesis of it and then come back 3 weeks later and get to see like the next phase of when they work on the song and sort of, you know, pop in just for one song throughout its sort of lifespan, I guess, of creation. That would be, yeah. Ultimate bucket list item for me, I think, in terms of unrealistic expectations.
Why don't you go, Chris? What else is on your list? Why don't you go next, yeah. And then Tasula and I, or we'll take our turns.
Yeah,
I think the just looking back at a lot of the ones that have sort of been said would cover a lot of the stuff for me. I think it's like we talked about getting pulled on stage and stuff is both terrifying to me as a fan and just like social anxiety kind of thing, but also like would be a bucket list thing. And my wife has often said every time I mention, you know, oh, I heard so-and-so got pulled on stage or this person got pulled on stage and they got the guitar. And she's like, that's my dream for you. And so like, it's definitely one of those things where, cause I play guitar, I've played in a U2 cover band one night where we, you know, did the Elevation tour set. And so to be pulled on stage and get to, you know, play a song and even like, you know, sway the band as people have sometimes done into a particular song, which I have no idea what song it would be. I would be terrified and I'd forget all the chords, I'm sure. on stage, but and then probably try and like go into some solo thing over top of Edge and push him off the stage or something. But and then definitely seeing them in Dublin would be a big one too. And yeah, I've been to Dublin, haven't been there when U2's been on tour, and so that would definitely be another bucket list item. So yeah, I don't know who wants to go. Matt, do you want to go next?
Sure. If that's fine with me. Tassoul, you mind if I go next?
Not at all. Go for it.
Okay. Like I said, I just wrote four things down, and some of this we've covered. I mentioned in my OTR column a week or two ago when I encouraged people to send in audio clips or emails about this, that very high on my list would be seeing U2 in South America. I would put that ahead of seeing them in Italy, just because the South American audiences seem to me, you know, from the videos you watch and that sort of stuff, they just always seem to be so insanely into the show, like, you know, 2 hours of nonstop yelling, screaming, on their feet, dancing, singing, you know. It just seems, you know, that to me, I would love to just experience what that feels like. And I, you know, I loved watching U2 3D just for the audience, and it just, you know, that just blew me away. So yeah, that's really high on my bucket list. I want to visit Red Rocks, like whether or not U2 is even playing there or not. Like I've just never been there. I just want to go see what it looks like in person and just, you know, say that I was at a spot that was very important in U2's history. I would also love to watch them record an album, just as you were explaining, Chris, and what Julie said. I love to watch people that are masters at their craft actually do their craft. And so I think it would be incredible to watch U2 in the recording studio and see them, you know, how a song develops and just what is that process of give and take like. And, you know, they always talk about how difficult it is in the recording studio. I would love to be a fly on the wall and watch and see how that whole thing plays out. That would be incredible. And then really high on my bucket list would be interviewing U2, interviewing the whole band. Tassoul, our good friend Neil McCormick kind of stole what I thought would be my job, or what I dreamed would be my job, when he wrote U2, or when he did the U2 by U2 book. That was always my dream, would be to do their official end of career book. And so maybe since they're not at their end of the career, maybe there's still a slight, you know, sliver of hope that that could happen. But I'm totally jealous that he got to do what he did and just interview them about, because I'm fascinated by their history and, you know, the whole, you know, that angle of the band and how they got from where they were to where they are. And so just to be able to spend, you know, month after month interviewing them and talking about all these important things in their story, that would be, I mean, I would just be beside myself if I could ever do that.
Yeah. That's actually, he's a guy who, I wonder if we reached out enough to him, if he'd come on and chat sometime.
I can ask him if you'd like.
Yeah.
I'm connected.
Yeah, that would be good. I think we should do that.
I'd be happy to. And I can ask a few others too. We can talk about it offline. Yeah. But yeah, I have some phone numbers on speed dial.
Nice. So it was connected. That's just reminded me of back in the early days of Twitter when he first popped on and you could DM anybody. I remember I was DMing him back and forth about like the weather in Ireland or something at the time, which is like completely inane, obviously. And then, of course, subsequently, he either unfollowed me or stopped allowing DMs from weird people in Canada.
Or he blocked you.
Like, this freak keeps talking about the weather. Like, and I live in England. I don't even live in Ireland.
Yeah, I know. At the time, he was in Ireland. But just this kid keeps asking me, is it raining? Is it raining? Is it raining today, Neil? Anyways, so yeah, that's our bucket list episode so far.
But Tassoul has.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Chris. Obviously, I'm really important here. The female representation tonight.
Oh dear, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh gosh. Definitely. I'm like that. I'm
calling
out
on that one.
Anyway. Okay. I had a debate joke, but I won't use it. I won't politicize our podcast. All right. So on my list, I'll make it very fast. As far as like places go, I also share the Red Rocks joy with Matt. We actually, I think intended to go there the last time we were in Denver together. Yeah, and we got sidetracked. We did not go. But that was a day where a lot of fans were going and stuff. So it probably would have been crowded. It wasn't meant to be. We'll go some other time. Sun Studios in Memphis. I'm dying to go there. Zoo Station in Berlin. I would like to go there. Cedarwood Road. I hope to go there next month when I'm in Ireland. But I've been to a lot of the Irish places already, thankfully, and a lot of the other United States places. I went to the liquor store in LA, and I went to the beach in France where Electrical Storm was filmed and dressed up like a mermaid and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Wait, stop. That one bears a question. You went to the beach and you went there with a mermaid costume in my and planned
semi-mermaid, but yes, right. I did have a mermaid skirt made and then chickened out for the picture, but it was there with us. Yes. Nice. I was in a Samantha Morton outfit that day on the beach outside Bono's house. And I did do the run up and down the train station. Like there's a picture of me with the Ez sign. There's a picture in the water. You have to read my Like a Song About Electrical Storm and then you'll hear about it. But anyway, that goes back many years when I was young and carefree.
Do you ever – sorry, I just want to tangent a little bit on this one.
I'm going to let this go. Yeah, go ahead.
No, do you ever think like was Bono looking out his window at that time and be like, what is – does she have – is she like just
– Oh, yeah. He was in town. I mean, we found out like our hosts – we stayed at bed and breakfast back then, and our hosts were friends with Edge, and they were with Edge and Bono the night before we got there. So we got an earful about, you know, what they were doing on the town and all this stuff. And anyway, we never saw them, of course, but we were very close. Anyway, they could have theoretically seen me in my getup and made fun of me and all the good stuff, which they should have done if they did. But anyway, back to my list. As far as like experiences go, I have shaken 3 of the 4 hands of you two, so I would like to shake Edge's hand at some point in my life since I've shaken the hands of the other 3. And I would like them also to appear on a red carpet where I have a press pass, because I have been on red carpets with press passes many times. And every single time I score a pass, they decide not to come down the red carpet. So that is another – I don't even care if I get to ask them a question. I just want them to actually show up. And my ultimate would be singing backup. So like, you know, they resurrect Red Light or something and I can do the da-da-da, da-da-da, you know, at the beginning.
Nice.
Or something like that. Yeah, like I told Steve Lillywhite that actually when I interviewed him years ago and – he was like, that'd be great. He was like, he's a war guy, of course, like because he worked on that album, as we know. And I remember him having a pleasant reaction to that, to the thought of them bringing that song back. I don't know if he cares if I want to see the backup singer on it. But he had fondly remembered, you know, the coconuts or whatever that day recording it. So
that's awesome.
Your list is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I think you definitely win the most creative list award. And in addition to the fact that I tried to not include you in this as well.
What the show would have lacked if I had not had my voice heard.
Exactly. Oh, dear. That's I'm having an off episode, that's for sure. and I love you just brought up an interesting idea of like, is there a whole... Maybe there is, and I'm just completely unaware of it, but like a whole like sort of cosplay U2 community out there of like people who do more of that kind of like dressing up as parts.
I don't know if it's a community or not, but you know, when you go to the shows, there's always somebody wearing the whole gold lame Mephisto outfit with the white makeup on and the devil's horns on top. And yeah, I don't know if it's a community, but there's people that certainly do that.
Yeah.
During Vertigo, I used to dress like Zoo TV Larry. Remember that, Matt?
Zoo TV. Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Dress up like that. And like I my skull earring flew into the security that in Seattle that one time, and my ear was bleeding and I didn't know it. And I mean, and he found it on the floor, you know, hours later. And oh my gosh.
That's a real Zoo TV moment.
It really was. I had a like a camouflage tank top that said FOAD across it.
Nice.
But that's as far as I've taken it at a show.
So if there's listeners who have pictures like that, like I'm not in any way poking fun. I think it's awesome. And I think like the whole cosplay thing in general, but especially as it relates to YouTube, this is a YouTube fan podcast. So if you've got a picture that you're willing to share with us, we'd love to see if you've ever done any sort of like get up as Bono in a certain era, Larry, et cetera. I mean, yeah, it'd be awesome to see. And I know when I, like I was saying, I did a U2 cover night and I don't look anything like Edge. And so there was very little, I didn't even try to like, I should have worn a beanie at least, at the very least. But yeah.
Well, I didn't look anything like Larry, let me tell you.
There we go.
Chris, you've got the goatee. Well, or do you have a full beard going now?
Full beard now. Back then, I probably had a goatee, I would guess.
I mean, you could kind of pull that off, I think, if you had the beanie on with the.
Yeah, it'd be like Edge with an extra 100 pounds or something, maybe. I don't know. just estimating, but yeah, it was. I was nerve wracked enough just doing like just playing the intro for Streets. That was like the most terrifying moment, but then it went off really well, and that was like I was the most worried about that one. But yeah, I could save that for another podcast. That would actually be another thing is talking with U2 cover band people, which is kind of like its own little world of cosplay if you think about it.
Yeah,
that's in a funny kind of way.
Yeah, we should. That'd
be a fun episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be.
Get all the Bonos on one show, you exactly. know, get like a bunch of, I can give you all their information from our calendar section.
There you go. Yeah. The Bonos will have an interview with the Bonos and the Edges.
And then an interview with the Edges. And then, yeah.
But would calendar. They, so then the interesting part would be like, do they have to answer things in character still? Or?
You have to answer that again.
You could have an Edge off and a Bono
that,
off.
That could get very confusing.
Yeah. Exactly. It was weird enough seeing both the Edges on stage at the concert that we're not allowed to mention anymore. But all right. Well, if you have other bucket list items, feel free to send them in. Use the hashtag AskAtU2 for the questions and inbox that we used earlier, and we'll mention them on future episodes. Definitely, maybe it sparks something that you've been thinking about doing or wanting to do, or give you an idea of something you'd like to do, feel free to send it in. And or if you wrote it up somewhere or want to send in audio, we love that as well. What was the address, Matt, to send it to? Webmaster at U2.
That works.
Yeah. Webmaster at U2.com.
Yep. That just comes to me. I don't know, why I don't give out my personal address. I don't know, but we have Webmaster. I just feel like we should use it once in a while. Yeah.
Keeps it old school. Webmasters. Right. Unite. Right. And of course, as always, you can tweet us at U2 on Twitter. The hashtag, like I said, AskAtU2. Facebook.com/ATU2com is the Facebook page where you can like the website on Facebook. What's coming up next in the calendar with U2? They're just finished, as we record anyways, their concerts in Belgium, and they're headed over to Cologne. And it's kind of like, feels like we're in the home stretch a bit. I mean, there's still quite a few concerts left, but especially when you consider there's eight or whatever in London.
Yeah, well, it's what? It's a month until the HBO thing, right? We're recording this on the 14th, so it's a month until the HBO thing.
Well, actually, less than a month before the first one. You know, there's two of them.
Right.
Yeah. There's one on the 7th and one on the 14th.
Yeah, the documentary comes first, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I still have a couple weeks to sign up for HBO.
Oh my gosh, bite your tongue. You should have it anyway. Not that expensive.
That's in the first world U2 bucket list problems.
I think we should have people, you know, when people will anyway, but like tweet pictures of your parties and all that stuff those nights, because I have a staffer coming in from New York to see that with me the first weekend.
Get out of town, really? She is? That's
Jill,
awesome.
Jill is flying in, and we're going to have a little party.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Especially if your friend has HBO and you don't. That's a great way to...
And that may be the case with... I of course, do. So, yeah, that may be the case.
Yeah, Fabiano in the chat room says, ask him to Periscope the HBO documentary, which might get him sued or something, but you never know. Depends how quick they put the ban hammer down on that.
Periscope himself, like talking about, you know, reacting to the U2 documentary, and then we'll have a crystal ballroom afterward. And then, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So tune in for that.
Yeah, so tune in for that.
It's all very Zoo TV.
It is exactly. Very Zoo.
And also next week, right, is Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the actual 20th anniversary podcast.
Next Friday, October 23rd, at U2 turns exactly 20 years old. And so I thought, it's funny, like, Sherry like has been pestering me for the last, not pestering me, she sent me an email. So I, that's one, that's pestering. If you send me one email, you are pestering me. No. She sent me an email saying we should do all this sort of stuff for the 20th anniversary.
I agree.
And I am so, I'm so, Tasula knows my personality because we've hung out so many times. It's not like me to want to make a big deal about us, right? Nope. Like, I don't like talking about us and I don't like, you know, self-promotion and all that sort of stuff. So it's very difficult for me to say, yeah, these are all great ideas of things we should do for the 20th anniversary, because my instinct is to say, no, let's not, we don't have to do anything, you know, let's not make a big deal out of ourselves. That's just, it's my nature. I don't like making a big deal out of things like that.
But to celebrate the good times, that's mm-hmm. nothing, that's not promotional. That's
I know.
That's letting people share in the joy that we feel for providing
it. I know.
It.
I know. I'm weird that way.
So you
I'm
are
the,
weird.
I'm for the first to admit it.
You just had a birthday you actually enjoyed. You
I
might
did.
Enjoy this as well, right?
I know. So next week. So
get it all out the edge.
So next week on the podcast, I thought we would do just a podcast, a 20th anniversary podcast. I have no idea what that means. And frankly, none of you should let me organize it. Because if you let me organize it, we're going to talk about something else.
I think you should have, well, the person that you have not mentioned yet, I think you should have that person. I think you should have Kelly Eddington. I think you should, like, some of the, you know, Voldemort? Stars of the past few past
okay,
few
so,
decades.
So we can mention that because I sent him a text
okay.
an hour ago.
Okay.
I sent him a text last Wednesday night, October 7th. And I said, are you free 2 weeks from tonight at this time?
And he looked on his Google calendar.
October 21st at 7:30 p.m. We're recording a special 20th anniversary edition of our podcast. I asked on Twitter what we should do to celebrate. And the first group of replies are bring back answer guy.
Of course.
And he replied and said, I shall clear my calendar immediately. I texted tonight just as
to
we were
sure that started. Wasn't sarcastic.
Right. And I said, reminder, next Wednesday at this time, 20th anniversary podcast, are you in? And he said, it's on my calendar. I will need some pregame guidance.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And
so hopefully next Wednesday we will have Answer Guy on. So should we have people like send in questions for Answer Guy?
Yeah, make it fun. Mm-hmm. And that'll help him prepare. Like, yeah.
Perfect.
Do that.
All right. All right. So I'm writing this down. All right.
I'm excited. I'm getting excited now. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so next week is going to be a 20th anniversary podcast. I have no idea what that means other than Answer Guy, and the rest of you should organize it, because otherwise, if I organize it, we will talk about something else other than that.
I will take it as an action item to talk to Sherry offline, and we will do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I've got some ideas now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
There we go. We just planned it live on the show.
Challenge accepted.
And so that's something to look for. So you can probably, in terms of sending stuff in, if you want to use the Twitter thing, ask at you too. We'll sort it out if it's a remembrance. A question for the Answer Guy. Or if you have something like something related to the site that you want to share, I guess, with us, that is a memory of some sort, maybe something you found out about you two via the site or something like that, some sort of congratulatory thing you want to send in to Matt. I'm the new guy here, so I can boast about the site because I'm really proud to be associated with it in some weird way. Still can't believe I haven't been fired, but
a lot worse than screwing up a name or two.
let's do a special hashtag for Answer Guy for people that want to ask Guy questions. It should be hashtag U2AG. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll tell him to look for that. So that he can prepare. U2AG is the hashtag to send questions for Answer Guy for next week. All right, awesome.
There we go.
Fun. Now I can't get out of it.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we'll get other staff to send in stuff, audio if they can, and all that kind of thing, and we'll have a fun time eating our Tostitos. What was the
Tatoes.
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 Maybe have a Guinness if you have one nearby. You can join us to listen live, like I said, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Goodstuff.fm/live is where it would be recorded. And of course, afterwards, you can find it at goodstuff.fm/ATU2/. It'll be number 15 for that episode. This episode is number 14 as we record this. And Tasula, where are you on the internet if people want to ask you more questions about mermaid outfits and looking like Larry?
I am so easy to find. I am at Tasula, and I will repost my Like a Song from 2000, whatever that was, 7, I think I wrote that, if anybody cares.
Well, I put it in the show notes as well. So if people are, show notes are the goodstuff.fm/ATU2/14. There'll be a link, all the stuff, most of the stuff, try to catch all the stuff anyways that we talked about. So, and a link as well to Tasula's Twitter account. And Matt, how about you? Where are you on the internet?
I can be found at Matt McGee.
Oh, we got a straight answer out of you.
This time, yes.
And if you send something to the @U2 Twitter handle, either one of us or both of us or Sherry will see.
Or Sherry will reply.
Yeah. And I'm iChris on Twitter, at the Edge. That was actually one of my first email sort of handles, was using not the Edge as a thing, as sort of like the counter edge. A little bit of Chris trivia for you. For whatever it's worth. So anyways, we'll wrap this up before I mispronounce more names and mispronounce other things. Thank you, folks, for listening. We really appreciate everybody who listens. The folks who've left a rating or review in iTunes, it's been awesome to see. We'll read some of those in future episodes, too, if we ever run out of things to talk about you, too, like we thought we would, but we've managed to fill 14 episodes. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week for the 20th anniversary podcast episode. Bye.